Today on Compassion Radio.
So you're helping them find community with you, but also becoming the kind of people that can build their own community along the way and find their tribe, so to speak.
Yes. And even find their tribe, but also lead their tribe.
Yeah.
You know, we see guys, like one guy, he just finished, he published his second book. And I'm like, wow. Cool. You know, my wife's always encouraged me, like, you need to write a book. You know, and here are guys that were helping are already writing books. And I was like, I need to catch up. So it's just really amazing to see, you know, what God's doing in the lives of people.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. At Compassion, we spend time on the front lines of Christianity, where faith and action meet, where people just like you are doing amazing things for the kingdom. You're invited to jump on board. Come with us as we discover the work of God in the most amazing and unlikely places. Foundation Bread of Life is an international ministry that's doing some amazing work in Eastern Europe. For starters, they seek out the homeless, helpless, and the hungry in order to encourage them by meeting their immediate practical needs. Then, they empower, encourage, and equip people to live for something bigger than themselves. I'm Frank Montenegro. As we pick up today with the fourth and final part of this interview, one of Bram's guests recalls how he and his team were able to win the hearts of the people they were helping by sharing the love of God with them, despite their differences.
You know, when we bought this property, this New Life Center, we bought it in a village. And at the beginning, when we went there, you know, I said, I need to meet with the village chief and the elders and just tell them what we're doing. And said, hey, that's really good, you know, what you guys are doing. But the fact, you know, that you're not, you know, Roman, Polish, Catholic, we don't want you here. And so he said, okay, this will be fun. But we still continue to love and to share with people the hope of Christ. And Brooke, she would put together Christmas packages, like little shoebox packages for like the poorest of the kids in the community, you know, getting school books, textbooks, and stuff like that. And so we really impacted this community. And after a couple of years, because even people say, like, oh, don't associate with those people over there. We're like, really? Come on. From Arizona.
That's pretty scary.
Right? So, you know, this community realized what we were doing and loving them in such a way, like in God's love, that they then went to the county and said, tell us who the poorest villages in our county. We want to adopt them, you know, for Christmas. And so they're imitating these acts, just like Tomek was imitating, Charles was imitating. Mm-hmm. Now the village is imitating. So one thing that I get excited about, and hopefully we'll see, you know, instead of just one-on-one, maybe it's a village on a village. Mm-hmm. And people coming to know Christ. And also, too, it's interesting, too, is to see Poland change. You know, now it's becoming more Western, in a sense. And, you know, working with the international community and also Polish people, a lot of students, you know, some of them are now saying, oh, I'm atheist. But they're not really atheist. They're more done with tradition, I think. Mm-hmm. And when you talk to them and ask them, like, you know, do you think you'll ever go to heaven? Like, no. Probably not. And I'm like, why not? It's like, man, there's too much stuff I have to do. Mm. And so I have them read like John 3:16. And they read it and then they pause. And they look at me. They look back at the Bible. And I was like, well, how do you get to heaven? And he's like, belief? Is it really that simple?
Yeah.
I was like, well, what does the Bible say? I said, I think it is. You know, it's by your faith. So I think, you know, people are open to the gospel in that way. So we'll see.
And of course, your example, you talk about the emulating going on here. This is a simple thing. Believe in the one who saves you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But you don't stay that way. You get transformed in that moment or that process, and something happens to you. You end up going to a foreign country and becoming a missionary who's handing out cups of tea on a train station.
Yeah.
You go next door and offer some borscht to somebody in the middle of winter who needs it, or you, whatever. God starts changing you to do his work with others. And obviously, just from the stories I'm hearing today, your church is alive. The people are spiritually alive and are sharing that life with many others. And they seem to be intimately tied in with this work of Bread of Life Foundation. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad that there's an outward focus and an inward commitment and a vibrant community. All those things at once.
Yeah, yeah.
That's very encouraging to me to hear that.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, Bread of Life, it's funny because, you know, many people come over to do church planting. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And my wife and I, at the beginning, they're like, you know what? We're not church planters. Because I never, ever wanted to be a pastor. Because it didn't matter, you know, the homeless people that we would rescue if they went to this denomination or that denomination. We just wanted them in a good Christian church.
Yeah.
So we were pushing them into all the churches. And I didn't know that God would have me start to pastor church either. And then, like, with the international church, you know, I mentioned they would come. And in a period of time, they would leave. Yeah. So we've seen over 165 people leave our church to over 35 different countries throughout the world. And a lot of them go back to China, start passing out cups of tea, or to Ivory Coast. And we have a big medical school and some medical students there. They go back to Taiwan, and now they're leading mission teams throughout Asia, to Burma and other places like that. So it's really almost like a training ground.
I was going to say, you're training to send.
People that are transformed can't not transform
people
and places.
Yeah.
They become a transformational, effective work of themselves. I mean, God is living the kingdom out one cell at a time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
And so it sounds like you are very much in the mind of, let's be the kingdom wherever God takes us.
Yeah, yeah. And I tell the church all the time, whether you're, like, you're a Fulbright, you know, professor exchange or whoever, businessman or student, you know, I said, look, you know, God's brought you here for a purpose. Mm-hmm. Maybe you thought it was for your work, but it's a bigger purpose than that.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a Christian, you know, God's calls you to something bigger than yourself. And, you know, I encourage them, I say, you know, God's called you to, like, to fly. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, I always encourage them, like, a butterfly is beautiful. But if a butterfly doesn't fly, it's simply butter. A Christian who doesn't, you know, just engage in life.
Smeared.
You're just butter, right? But you got to have that fly on there, you know, to really be something beautiful in the life of people. And it's simple things. Mm-hmm. Cup of tea. Okay. Tell somebody, I do it because I love you. New Life Center.
The New Life Center.
Let's pick it up from here then. You got this whole New Life Center for men built. You've got a lot of things going all at the same time. You have a vibrant church. You're mm-hmm. sending people around the world. You're, like, shooting, like, arrows out of a quiver. So suddenly this little ministry in Poznan has become a worldwide phenomenon. I mean, I know I speak a little bit of hyperbole, but it's true. You are sending out missionaries who don't even realize that they're missionaries yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're excited about the work God's been doing in them. And they're very excited that God brought them to be with you in Poland for a time. And now these internationals are everywhere. So tell me some more about the stories of those who went away from you and of those who stayed with you to work on this New Life project.
Yeah, so this New Life Center, over the last 10 years, we've helped rescue about 800 men through the facility.
800 men in that one town?
No, well, the men will come from all over Poland.
Oh, okay.
Because people knew about the New Life Center throughout the entire country.
Which tells me there's not many centers for men who are in transition or trying to get off the streets then.
Yeah, you know, back then there was a few, not very many. Now there's more, which is nice, especially in the wintertime when it's so cold.
So from around the entire country of Poland, people are coming to you, 800 men so far. What did you do with them?
Yeah, so we worked, we took them from the very basic and worked for their health. You know, because sometimes you've been homeless for 20 years, you know, you're not healthy at all.
Yeah.
You don't have documentation. You don't have any ID. You don't even exist. So just rebuilding the man in society in that way, but also rebuilding them like, look, God created you in his image. So there's something very unique about you to begin with. Then we worked through, you know, a lot of the homeless came from really difficult situations as well. And it was about 60% of homeless people came from orphanages. So then we were able to rebuild the man and work on therapy, go back to childhood and go back to the teenage years and really begin to help them get back in society. You know, and then even when they'd get ready to graduate, we'd help them find jobs. And we'd also protect them, that they would sign legal contracts,
yeah.
you know, to take care of them and help them find a place. Yeah, because sometimes we would come back and it's like, no, that's not legal.
Yeah.
You can't take that job. So we'd call the company and be like, hey, you know, how about you change that contract? So that was nice.
The important thing you said here, rebuilding a man.
Yes.
That God's called you to build on the foundation that God gave him. They're grown men at this point, but they have no identity.
Yeah.
And they certainly don't have an identity in something like Christ yet. So you're ministering to them where they are with the base needs, not just cleaning them up, but healing their diseases.
Yeah, yeah.
Helping them to find themselves and find their identity in Christ and find a way out of the place they never thought they would ever get out of.
Yeah.
That's powerful work.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I'm going to steal a quote from Billy Graham. I don't know if he said it or not, but someone did. It says, salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you everything. Mm. Yeah. And so to help these men rebuild their lives, it's tough work. Yeah. And so what we've seen, like, over the years, you know, trying to rescue these men, you know, we see it, a lot of their lives go back to their 20s, their teens, and earlier. Mm. So how do we step back and start to prevent that from ever getting to the point of them on the streets? Yeah. And so this is where we're taking the center now in a new direction and trying to prevent that and going back a generation to help these kids.
I can give you an example. My wife has been involved in orphanage ministry within the context of Bread of Life. Mm-hmm. She's been leading groups of volunteers to orphanages with a specific purpose of giving children this hope, but also this determination to do exam, final exam for high school, to qualify for continuous studies. Because when children in orphanages don't qualify for any further education, they are obliged to go back to the place where they came from.
Right.
And in general, they are, well, dysfunctional families, or they're non-existent families even. They go back to, you name it. In most of the cases, research shows over 80% of those cases, these children who are coming from orphanages, who are, let's say, graduates of orphanages, they fall back in the same misery as their parents or their families or their dysfunctional neighborhood environment where they came from. So the way how to change this is give them a clear hope, and give them this self-confidence, give them the hope in Jesus Christ that there's more than just this whatever existence. Mm-hmm. And my wife was able to encourage girls to do this final exam, to go through high school and qualify for continuous studies. And then there's this kind of state protection for children, for students. They get us some kind of scholarship. They can live in a dorm. They can stay away from these toxic families. And they can find their place in life. And they
can develop. Not just breaking the cycle, but breaking out of the cycle.
Exactly that moment. And it's that moment that Richard mentioned. Because when we don't do that, well, we create new homeless people. Mm-hmm. It's not difficult to tell what will happen in 5, 10, or 15 years.
Right.
They'll try their luck, but without any healthy basis.
They're just floundering.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
Friends, since 1999, Compassion Radio and its partners, that means you, have been doing something extraordinary. We've reached out in very practical ways to save the lives of abandoned babies in South Africa. Now, there are orphanages all over the world. Why this one? Well, because of a singularly amazing family and a marvelous transformational idea. And the idea was this: make it easier to save a life than to waste a life. Well, on the surface, that sounds like a ridiculous mission statement. But consider this. At the end of the 20th century, at the height of the AIDS crisis in South Africa, dozens of babies were being abandoned by mothers with no hope each and every month. Being infected and outcast, often addicted to drugs and unable to afford to care for their newborn, and facing arrest if they tried to give up their babies to authorities, the desperate took desperate measures. They were convinced their babies would die anyway. Until, that is, the Berea Baptist Church and the Allen family made that radical statement and did something about the crisis. Since the day they cut a hole in their church wall and put an incubator in it, they've rescued thousands of infants from certain death. No longer would a hopeless mother have to add murder to her burden of guilt. You, friends, had compassion on both mother and child through your generous giving. I'm asking you again for it now. The reason is obvious. There's still a need. And the work of Door of Hope keeps getting better. The new Hope Village is under construction, and when it's done, hundreds of kids not adopted will be raised in family groups in a nurturing community with its own playgrounds, church, elementary, and trade schools. Door of Hope showed us how to save a life once. Now they're showing us how to save lives time and time again, and as a result, saving generations. Will you give generously this year? It's our 20th anniversary of this project. And here's the best part. One of our generous Compassion Radio partners is providing a special matching challenge grant. If you give, they will match your gift, but only during the current month. $4,000 has been set aside for the special matching grant for the month of February. I'm asking you to make sure that every dime of that challenge grant is at least doubled or multiplied many times over. So give today. Here are four ways you can do just that. Call 1-800-868-2478 or go online to CompassionRadio.com right now to make your gift. Or send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And lastly, and maybe best of all, you can donate in under a minute by simply texting KIDS to 53445. Thank you, friends, for helping Door of Hope save a whole new generation of precious children with your generous gift today.
Radio with Bram Floria.
Like you see that same problem happening in Ukraine when the orphans are turned loose from the orphanages at age 16 or something. They're not quite adults yet. They have those gap years. If there's nothing there for them, they are instantly into human trafficking and or living on the streets or both or drugs. So the dangers are very, very real.
Yeah, so we try to focus within the possibilities we have with our new life center on more short-term projects for prevention, education, building self-confidence, making camps, making therapy for this vulnerable group of people who need this additional encouragement.
Once identity is defined, then community has to exist or the person will decay quickly. So you're helping them find community with you, but also becoming the kind of people that can build their own community along the way and find their tribe, so to speak, as they go.
And even find their tribe, but also lead their tribe. You know, we see guys, like one guy, he just finished, he published his second book. And I'm like, wow. You know, my wife's always encouraged me, like, you need to write a book, you need to write a book. You know, and here are the guys that were helping are already writing books. And I was like, I need to catch up. So it's just really amazing to see, you know, what God's doing in the lives of people.
So tell me some more stories about individuals that you know exemplify the best of the best of these stories. Because you could tell hundreds of them. We don't have time for all those. We need the cream of the crop here. What are some of the people that you think back to as indicative of the kind of work that only God could do?
Well, as far as I know, I'm not allowed to mention names.
Okay.
But there's a guy who was in serious, serious trouble, went through the program of the New Life Center, didn't qualify to the end, fell back, experienced within a few weeks the same misery, and he was brought back to the New Life Center, had to be detoxicated, had to go through a very intensive program, and finally he was able to finish. And we were observing him at a moment. He is somebody who is able to really face his past, is able to get out of debt, is able to unite again with his family, is able to find his way in society professionally. He found a job after finishing the program in the Unui Life Center. Already two times made promotion within the company he's working for. Now he's responsible for 40 people and is a living example of somebody who, of course, he found Jesus on the way. Because, well, that's crucial. That is what we tell them. Yeah. Because he perfectly knew why this is possible and how this is possible. And seeing these people that otherwise would be in deepest misery, we see them being an example for lots of other people. Because very quickly they even pass the others who are passive, who still don't have this confidence. They know what they're living for and they want to be an example for others. And we see it with this man. That's incredible.
Those who know how much they've been saved from are the ones that work hardest to save others and make something of what gift they've been given. Now, that begs a question for me. What is a success story? Because what you just told me was two failures. The system did not succeed in getting him to proceed with a career. So he fell back, dropped out. Yeah. Now you've lost him. And now he falls to the bottom of the barrel again. He's a double failure. Now he's back with you. But then God did something.
Yes.
And you're telling me that the story you're telling me right now, Rainier, is that this is a success story.
Yeah. Well, can I ask you something? True believers, when they are, the moment they're born again, you perfectly know what happens with them. It's this moment that they realize that they really, really need Christ. That they really, they're just lost.
Right.
Well, that's the basic of the gospel. So for those men we are serving, it's exactly the same story. As long as they don't understand and they don't realize and that they are completely lost within their position, within society, that they don't know how to manage, well, as long as they're not at this stage, well, it's difficult to treat them. When they get there, then they find their way.
They have to realize how lost they are.
Exactly. It's exactly the same with us. So we can identify with them.
Exactly.
We were talking with a gentleman yesterday whose story will be coming up on a future broadcast for Compassion Radio. He taught us an important lesson because he had been to the bottom that way. He found Jesus in prison after being convicted of major crimes. And the word came to him that he wasn't just saved because he had the experience, because he actually met Jesus and understood that God loved him. He was told prophetically that God spared your life. So his work was to literally allow you to exist and not take out the punishment you deserved. And now he's been saved from his sins, but he also was spared from the doom that he was deserving.
Yeah.
And he understood that both those things were essential.
Yeah.
I had to know that my life had been spared by God and that he had saved me to something else.
Yes.
And that both those things were... Yeah. They work together, but they weren't the same.
Yeah.
You know, God's mercy keeps us from destruction, but his salvation brings us to new life. And he understood that better than most theologians I know, because he'd experienced it.
Yeah. Very often, it's only when we step out that we give God the opportunity to really do something, to show his power, to show these wonderful experiences. And of course, it's a challenge. Of course, it's frightening because, well, it's our comfort zone. But when we step out, then suddenly we see things that we could never imagine.
Amen.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio, first, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2425. 2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word Compassion to 53445. That's the word Compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.